Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we reverently and humbly approach thy word tonight, knowing that your scripture commands for us to take the word, to bind it upon our hearts and in our minds, and to present it to our children, coming in, going out, at the gate, and in the home. And so, Father, we just ask that you would help us, Lord, as we study thy word, Lord, to understand better, Father, the things which you have given to us. For we understand, Father, that by revelation you have given us your word, and you have taught us, Father. You've come in this hour to give us thy precepts, that precept might be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, and here a little, and there a little. And with stammering lips and another tongue, you came to this generation, and you presented to us the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now help us, Father, to take your example as a loving father, and to be able to take your word, Lord, and present it to our children. For the things which are hidden belong unto the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. What does the word diligent mean? Nick, diligent. Okay, the greatest effort you've got. It's very good. All right, notice the NIV puts it this way. Impress them on your children. Talk of them when you sit in your home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. The Amplified Version says, and these words which I am commanding you this day shall first be in your mind. Then you shall whet and sharpen them, so to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So we see the effort has got to be on mom and dad. The effort has got to be first. The word has got to be first in your mind. And then you are to take that word and sharpen and whet it like you would a knife. Shh, that whetstone. Just shh, shh, and plunge it into the souls of your children. The word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts coming, it cuts going. And if it's not felt, then I doubt it's effectual. And so we see that to do so, they were to place scripture and pictures and all sorts of things that the children will actually see with their eyes. And when they see with their eyes, it will have an influence in their minds and in their hearts. Now the scripture teaches us in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Brother Branham preached a message called Christ Revealed in His Own Word. And that's an absolute. If Christ is revealed in His Own Word, then the Word of Christ is the only way in which He is to be revealed. So then if we are to get to know Christ, if He is to become revealed to us, it must come only one way, and that is through His Word. So then His Word is the absolute. His word is the ultimatum if we are to get to know him. And he said we should never pray to change God's mind, but we should pray to change our own mind. God's mind doesn't need any changing. The problem that we have, though, is that although the Bible was written in many languages, yet it is not understood in any. For if it cannot be understood by the written word, but by the mind of Christ, For although the word is presented to just about every civilization that has a written language, yet it is not in that language that the word is understood. It's understood through revelation. And 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9 says, "As it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." I'm talking to one of the brothers the other night. He was telling me an experience he had back around 1969. And he had gone down to visit with Brother Billy Paul. And he had asked him, he said, at that time this particular brother went to a church called the Brethren. And the Brethren believed in holiness. The sisters had long hair. They wore dresses modestly. They had regular prayer meetings where the people came together. They had cottage meetings where they came to each other's homes. They prayed. The people lived a life of holiness. They were dedicated to the Lord. And this brother went down and he asked Brother Billy Paul. He said, "Now, Brother Billy," he said, "you know, this is the church, these are the people, this is the church that I'm going to, and I just want to know, what is your opinion of these people?" And Brother Billy said, "Well, I don't mean to burst your bubble or anything, but they're lost. They're all lost. You see, it's not your holiness. It's not how good you are, church people. It's not how good you conduct yourselves. But do you have a revelation? Because without revelation, you are lost. Without revelation, you can read the same scripture that one who has revelation reads. The one who has revelation understands. The one who does not have revelation has no understanding. And without revelation, you will not get a body change. For the change of the mind is what brings forth a change of the body. And God hath revealed his scripture unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except the man of the spirit of man's in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man." No man knows the things of God. "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But the Spirit of God knows. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So as we said before, we have 20 pages of quotes where Brother Branham said that if you have been born again, if you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, you will understand the message. The reason why people cannot understand is they are not born again. When the word is presented to them, they turn it down because they're not born again. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto them. They say you believe two gods when they know you don't believe two gods, but they'll say it anyway. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can they know him. They can't know him. They can't know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now this scripture tells us that we can in no way understand the things of God unless the Spirit of God is in us. So above all, we should be praying for one thing. And that's, God, please place your Spirit in me. Now in 1 Peter 1 and 10, Peter speaks of the end time where a administration of grace is to take place at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 10, he says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which also was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now the suffering of Christ is the first coming. The glory is the resurrected ministry of Jesus Christ, Alpha and Omega. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you by which the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we see Paul speak of this end time grace that's to bring us into the very mind of Christ in the book of Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming or the apocalypse of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. For God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Notice Paul is telling us at the revelation of Jesus Christ there's to become a grace that is to basically that in everything you are enriched by him. That's like fertilizer. And the reason why you put fertilizer on something is so that that thing can go from a seed to a fully manifested plant. And he says you're enriched by him in all utterance, in all logos, that's all word, and in all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So that you come, how was it confirmed? By the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That you come behind in no gift, in no charisma, in no spiritual endowment, waiting for the apocalypse of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How else can you all say the same thing, except you have the same mind? And in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, we're told, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So this body is not you, nor any part of it. Brother Branham said, it is like an old coat that we wear. Well, my coat is not me. So what you are is what your thoughts are. In Matthew 12 and verse 34 and Luke 6 and verse 25, Jesus tells us, for out of the abundance or overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So then there's no getting away from the fact that you are not only what you think, but what you are will be expressed through the lips in the form of words, and you will speak what you are. Therefore, in John 1 and verse 1, that tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then to get to know God, it must come through His Word, and since He cannot change, then we can establish the point that Christ is revealed in His own Word. Because after all, Christ and the Word is the same. Now, if you're revealed by your own words, then Christ is revealed in the same manner. Therefore, to get to know Christ, we must get to know His Word. And that is why God has given us His Word. Now, could you imagine God wanting for us to know Him and not telling us anything about Himself? then our knowledge of Him would be left up to our own imagination. Well, let me put it this way. When a young man sees a girl and he likes what he sees, what does he do? He tries to get to know her. But what if he never talks to her? Can he get to know her? Not really. He may say that he has fallen in love with her without ever talking to her. But how does he know that he's in love with her unless he knows what he's in love with? Because until he gets to know her mind, until she opens her mouth and communicates to him, he'll never be able to understand her or what she is. It might just be his own imagination that he's in love with. He imagines what she is like, and so he thinks on those thoughts, and then he falls in love with his own ideals of what she should be like. But what happens if he dates her and they never talk? He'll go on thinking she is what his mind or his imagination tells him what she is. And what if they get married and they have never really talked and communicated to each other? Then he will be in for a shock of his life when he marries her and then finds out later that she's not what he thought she was. And that happens to more than 50% of the marriages today because they end up in divorce. So you see, we express ourselves by what we say and what we do. That is the real person in us, doing those things and saying those things. This shell of a body is only a housing in which the real person in us lives. You do not know me by what I look like, but you know me by what I say and what I do. My expression reveals to you the real me. And how often people marry thinking that they'll be able to change the one that they're married to, but it doesn't work that way. And so we see that not only is God revealed by His own word, but we are also revealed by our own word. But what if these words are not true? Or what if we were told words that were not true? Or what if we only hear what we want to hear? In fact, Brother Branham said, if a man is married 20 years and has a dozen children, and his wife had told him she was virtuous when they married, and he comes to find out 20 years later that she wasn't, he said, they're not even married. He can put her away and he can remarry. That's the only reason. And the reason is because the vow was a lie. And if the vow is a lie, then the whole thing's a sham. What's the vow? It's the betrothal. Be truthful. It's the words expressed in trueness. So what if those words are not true? Or what if we are told words that were not true? Or what if we only hear what we want to hear? Then the description of the one being revealed will be wrong. Then the one will not be truly revealed, will he? Let's look at the example of a man looking for a wife, given a wrong picture, given a wrong description. You know, Eve was seduced by what? By a lie. The early church left the one who bought them for another. How? By deception. In Galatians 1, verse 69, Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not altogether another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So it's not a different one altogether, it's just a one that's been perverted. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. And 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 to 4. Would to God that you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as chaste virgins to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. In other words, you put up with it so easily. For I suppose that I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. And now, notice, let's read verse 13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, what I want to bring to your attention tonight is this. Mark 4:24 tells us, "And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given." In other words, the measuring stick that you use, that's what you're going to get. You see? They say, here's the wheat. Take the wheat. You take a cup out, you get a cup. You take a gallon out, you get a gallon. Whatever measuring stick you use, that's what you're going to get. So notice, if you come with a Baptist filter over your eyes, you're going to get a Baptist Bible. You come with a Pentecostal filter, you're going to get a Pentecostal Bible. Notice he said, take heed, be careful how you hear. How you hear? Don't we hear with our ears? I'd like to ask this question myself. How do you hear? With your ears? He said, take heed. The word is blepo. Beware of. Be careful. To discern, to observe and contemplate. To weigh carefully, to examine. Examine what? Well, he said, be careful what you hear. The word what is the Greek word tis. It means what or who or whom or why. And that which you hear, the word hear is aku. It means to understand, to comprehend or perceive. To sense what is being said. To give an ear to a teaching or teacher with a view toward understanding. In other words, be careful to listen to who you're listening to know who you're listening to. And then be careful to hear, to comprehend, to perceive what is being said by that teacher. In Matthew 13, verse 10 to 17, Jesus said, or the Bible says, "And the disciples came and they said unto him, Well, why do you speak unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whomsoever shall have, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing they shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them." Notice he said, we do not hear with our ears, nor do we see with our eyes. These are only outer senses that send stimuli to our minds. But what we hear with and what we see only brings a stimulus that enters into our mind or spirit where we have five outer senses. And remember, we are told how to create an influence upon our children so they will never depart from the Word. He said, impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit in your home. Talk to them when you walk along the way. Talk to them when you lie down. Talk to them when you get up. And the Amplified says, "And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your mind. Then you shall whet and sharpen them so to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you shall walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." To do so, They were to place visual stimuli, pictures, scriptures, and things that the children would actually see with their eyes. And when they see with their eyes, it will have an influence in their minds and in their heart. So here we see a positive picture of using the controlling the five senses in a way which will control and guide the minds of the children and actually bring about an inner desire in them for the things of God. We see how that sight can control the inner senses. In other words, we begin to superimpose the revealed word upon everything that we see, everything that we taste, everything we feel, smell, and hear. We must learn how to identify our outer senses and our inner senses in order to learn how to control them, because Christianity is a discipline. And as a discipline, it takes discipline to be a good Christian. So we see that we have see, taste, feel, smell, and hear as our outer senses to contact our earthly home. And then in the spirit, we have memory. Well, what is memory? Memory is the ability to retain or receive in the mind past thoughts, images, ideas, etc. Number two, we have imagination. And that is the power to form or to conceive or picture mental images of what is actually being presented. Number three, we have reasoning. And that's the ability to draw conclusions or inferences from assumed facts. Then we have conscience. That's the moral sense, the knowledge from within, inner thoughts and feelings. And five, we have the affection, the emotional state of our being, our disposition, the prevailing aspect of our true nature. Now let's look to the scripture for some other illustrations on how sight will control these five inner senses. In Numbers 15, verse 38 to 40, it says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make fringes upon the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the border a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart, and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God." God wants us to have stimulus everywhere we go, everywhere we look, everything we listen to. He wants us to remember why we're here. We're not here to have good jobs. We're not here to make money. We're not here to have a good life. We're here to prepare ourselves for an eternal life. The NIV says, "You will have the tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commandments of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by going after the lusts of your own hearts and your eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands and will be consecrated to your God." Here we see God employing the use of sight to control the heart and the mind by changing or charging our memories with stimuli that in turn causes us to reflect within ourselves what our journey is all about. Proverbs 17:24 says, "A discerning man keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth." Now, what I'm trying to establish here is that you see and hear with your mind. And in Mark 4:24, he says that we must be careful. We must take heed how we hear, because the measure that we use to hear is the only thing that we will hear. "As a tree leaneth, so shall it fall." If our minds are already made up, then what we hear will be filtered by what we want to hear. If our minds are not open, then we will never come to the knowledge of the truth. Let me just ask, how are you feeling, James? Good? All right, I want you to come up here for a minute, because I'm going to give you a demonstration that I hope you'll never forget. Okay? I want you to come up here, and I want you to put your stand facing the wall. Put your feet up against the wall. Okay, now put your head right on the wall. Now put this foot right behind this foot. Okay, put that one. Okay, now that's all right. Come on, put the next foot out behind that one. Now stand. Okay, put the other foot even. You know, even with the other one. Now I want you to put your head on the wall, okay? Put your hands behind your back. Now, I want you to stand up. Why can't you stand up without moving your feet? Why can't you stand up? Why? So you're leaning that way, right? All right, what does that tell you then? The way you lean is what? That's the direction you can go, right? Why is that? That's right. Because why? Your weights all go in that direction, right? Okay. Thank you. All right. He stood against the wall. I had him move his feet three steps out. keep his head against the wall, put his hands behind his back, and then try to stand up. You can't do it. And the reason is because you're leaning. And the Bible says, as a tree leaneth, that's the way it's going to fall. That's why Brother Vail said it's so important for us to get ourselves in neutral. Because you see, if you're in first gear, God can't put you in reverse. You'll be stuck. You can't go back. And if you're in reverse, God can't push you forward because you're stuck in reverse. But if you get yourself in neutral and say, Lord, whichever direction you want me to go, I'm willing to go. Then God can move you. Now, as a tree leaneth, so shall it fall. If our minds are already made up, then what we hear will be filtered by what we want to hear. For with what measure you use to measure it out, that is all you will receive. It's a filter. If our minds are not open, then we will never come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, so we've got to get in neutral. That is why I do not teach a return ministry. Because if you don't come into the shout, which is the message, there will be no second chance. The way the tree leans, it's going to fall. And too many are leaning to a world, or to the world, hoping that God will send his prophet back, and they will get the message the second time that is given, and it's going to be too late. You see, the resurrection, let him that's filthy be filthy still. It's too late then. From investments, Brother Branham said, I trust that that's in the heart of every man and woman here this morning to find something that's real. You remember, you can't come back and make the second trial. You've got to get it now. The way the tree leans, that's the way it falls. There is no scripture for a hereafter repentance. There is no scripture for a repentance after the resurrection is set in. That's your time now. No matter how it becomes popular today, or a purgatory somewhere, there's no such a thing as that in the Bible. It was wrote in the book, in one of the books of Maccabees or some other thing, but that wasn't added to it. And look, in that one book is purgatory mentioned, yet in the rest of the Bible it's not mentioned nowhere. And after all, Jesus, speaking of the same young man when he died, he said there's a gulf fixed that no man has ever crossed and never will after. See? And that settles it when Jesus said so. Now in Luke 8:18 it says, take heed therefore how you hear. Now remember, Mark said, take heed what you hear. But here in Luke says, take heed how you hear. And the word how is translated from the Greek word pos. It means by what means, after what manner, in what way, for whosoever hath, he said. And remember, hath means to echo. The word speaks of possession. But we also understand the word echo means repetition through reflection. So to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken, even that which he seems to have. And 1 Timothy 4:15-16 says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. The didoscalia, the doctrine, the teaching, the instruction. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Notice that we are told that it will both save you and those that will hear you. In Proverbs 22:6 again, it says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so a child will always revert back to the way he or she was trained. The filter that we have, the measuring stick that we have, is based upon what information we filter it through. And so we see that everything that we know, that we were taught by someone. Every fact that we use to make our decisions is based upon what we were told. And the world is under such delusion today that people take what is only theory and they believe it for gospel. Example is Darwin and evolution. Landing on the moon, Brother Brown said they'll never do it. Video showing heavy gravity, no booster rockets to get them back, etc. What about Star Wars? It was a bluff to bankrupt Russia. Now, there's an illustration that I like to use. And I used this illustration to a church in Missouri years ago that was sat under a false ministry, a false teaching for so many years that the people did not know what truth was. And so I hid a little animal under a blanket, and I told them that the Gentiles worship what they know not. As Jesus has said, I told the people just to guess what was under the blanket. And so I've got a little blanket here, it's a little towel, but I've got a little figure. I'm going to put this figure under this towel. I'm just going to lay it up here. Now, I'm going to ask you, James, what do I got in that towel? A giraffe. No, it's not a giraffe. All right. Layla, what do I have under the towel? What do you see there? Can you see anything? What does your eyes tell you? Okay, there's something under there. That's good. What else do you see here? What do you see? Huh? Well, can you see a toy? Okay, then what do you see?
A towel.
All right. What do you see? And what else? What about the towel? Lumpy? All right. You see, what you're describing is some attributes. You see a covering, a veil, right? And it's got lumps and bumps. But that's about all that you know, except you know something, that towel is hiding something under there, right? Well, then I gave out some attributes. But over here I told a group, I said, now, every time you hear an attribute, I want you to think little puppy dog. And over here I told a group, I said, now, every time you hear an attribute, I didn't tell them, I actually put it on a little piece of paper so nobody else knew what they were thinking. And I told them over here, I said, every time you hear an attribute, I want you to think bunny rabbit. Then I gave a little note to people in the back, and I said, every time you hear an attribute, I want you to keep your mind open until you hear all the attributes. Because the way that you lean, that's the way you're going to go. If you think it's a bunny rabbit, every time you hear an attribute, you're going to nail down that that is a bunny rabbit. Every time you, if you think it's a puppy dog, if you're told it's a puppy dog, then every time an attribute is given, that reassures you that that's what it is. But if you keep yourself open to the very end, then you know what it is. And so the first attribute was, it has four legs. And I looked over the bunny rabbit people, I said, is that right? And they said, mm-hmm. I looked over the puppy dog people, said, is that right? They said, uh-huh, that's right. I said, number two, it has a beautiful outer coat. Well, I looked at the bunny rabbit people, oh yeah, got a beautiful outer coat. Looked at the puppy dog people, they thought, yeah, it's got a beautiful outer coat. I said, it's gentle in nature. Oh yeah, the bunny rabbit said, people said, yeah, that's gentle in nature. The puppy dog people, yes, that's gentle in nature, puppy dog. Number four, its nature is to follow. Oh yes, the puppy dog people said, nature is to follow. The bunny rabbit people said, yes, its nature is to follow. Is it? It can jump small fences. Oh yes, the bunny rabbit people said, it can jump small fences. The puppy dog people said, yes, it can jump small fences. Its nature is self-sacrificial in nature. Oh yes, the puppy dog people said, and I suppose they thought of Lassie or Rin Tin Tin. But the bunny rabbit people thought, yes, it's sacrificial in nature. I guess it's made for the stew pot. Finally, it said, it's a shepherd boy's friend. Puppy dog people said, oh yes, a shepherd boy's friend. The bunny rabbit people said, oh yes, a shepherd boy's friend. And by now, they had deluded themselves. And when each attribute was read, each group reinforced their error with the hearing of the attribute. Finally, a group that I had told to be completely open until they heard all the attributes said it was a lamb. And they alone were right. And you should have seen the faces on those others. They were so mad when they found out that they were duped. If looks could have killed, I wouldn't be here tonight talking to you about it. But I told them I purposely allowed them to dupe themselves in order that they might never be duped again. And, yes, it has four legs. Yes, it has a beautiful outer coat. Yes, it has a gentle nature, self-sacrificial nature, because it's a lamb. And the world does not know God by their eyes. They know Him by His Word. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And you cannot know God outside of words. And you could not know what was behind that veil, except I gave you attributes to think about. But if your mind was already made up what's behind the veil, you see how it deluded you. It deceived you. But if you kept an open mind, you see how you had it right. Now John 8, verse 37 to 47 says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man which hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you can convince me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. And Matthew 23, verse 32, Jesus said, fill ye up the measure of your fathers. Remember, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you. Jesus said, fill up ye then the measure of your fathers. Jesus told them to fill up the measure of their fathers. In other words, every seed will bring forth after their own kind or their own nature. Then can you expect them to believe? There is no way that they can believe. They are ordained not to believe. That reminds me of a man who was mental. And he thought that he was dead. And so the doctor, trying to help him, he asked a man, can dead men bleed? And the man answered and said, of course not, dead men can't bleed. So the doctor poked him with a pin, and the man began to bleed. So instead of the man saying, I guess I'm not dead after all, he said, oh, I guess dead men do bleed. You see, people are so fixated that they're right. And if they're fixated that they're right, they're not willing to repent, to admit that they're wrong. And now if God were to come in this day and walk down the street, there's no way that you would know him unless he began to open his mouth and talk to you, and by words he would declare himself to you. Even the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus they were talking to until he spoke to them or did a certain thing. Then they recognized. Because you can only know someone by their mind, what they think and what they say. Even the things that they do are a manifestation of what they are thinking. And Brother Brown said Eve had to first think adultery before she could perform it. And you must first think of lying before you can do it. And if you hear a false description, you will be looking for a false person. That is why Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 1-4, that the people had become seduced to believe another Jesus because they received so openly another gospel. And yet it was not an altogether different gospel, only one that had become perverted. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And a perverted gospel is one of a different nature. Therefore, how do we know what is the correct word? Only one way, vindication. Jesus said, if you can't believe the words I'm telling you, believe me for the very works' sake. Because you know that no man can do these things except God be with him. And how does God vindicate His Word? God interprets His own Word by bringing it to pass. Brother Branham spoke of vindication well over 2,270 times, and the word comes from the Latin word vindicatius. This word comes from two Latin words, vim or vin, which means to use force, and the word declare, which comes from the root word diction, which means to express by words. The words together form the word, as we know it, to vindicate, which means to clear from criticism or suspicion. In other words, to prove and back up. Therefore, we see that the very presence of God on the scene is to back up the message that He gave His prophet. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, because You have helped us in this hour to see vindication clearly. We thank You that we understand that Alpha has become Omega. We understand the principle of twins. We understand, Father, that there is an appearing before the coming. We understand that Your prophecy in my ministry is to declare Him that He's here. And so, Father, we understand then the Godhead as it was taught through Your prophet, by Your Son Jesus, by You Yourself, by the Apostle Paul, Peter, John, and all the rest. And so, Lord, we're thankful that You've opened our eyes and You revealed Yourself to us by Your Word. For it is by Word that we can know You. Beloved, now are we sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, when He shall unveil Himself, when the mighty God shall be unveiled before us by words, then shall we know Him. And by knowing Him, we know who we are. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make His face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. God bless you all.